Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Redemption Church. The following sermon is by our pastoral resident, Scotty Miser.
So as Gary said, Pentecost is officially the end of the Easter season. It's 50 days after Easter, and it marks the birthday of the church. So what I want to do here is go over a little bit of the context of what was going on in Acts 2, more historically. And then I also want to look at what this seems to be doing in the biblical story before moving into what this story has to say for us today. But if you get nothing else from this, I want you to take this phrase away. If we want to see Pentecost, we have to show up in Jerusalem. If we want to see Pentecost, we have to show up in Jerusalem. So you may have noticed that the passage talks about these people already meeting at Pentecost. That's because it occurs not first on the Christian calendar. This is actually first a thing on the Jewish calendar. It's a much older Jewish tradition. This was sometimes called the Feast of Weeks. And it's a time when Jewish people would present a sacrifice of the first fruits of their crops for that year. Now, this was, of course, a lot easier to do when all of Israel was in one place. But over the years and the centuries, because of war and exile, the Jewish people have been scattered to every nation under heaven. But you can't celebrate the Feast of Weeks anywhere but Jerusalem. And so here we have this gathering of diverse Jewish believers, whether by ethnicity or by conversion, these Jewish people here to celebrate their feast in Jerusalem. And what we find is that in God's perfect timing, there's actually no better time for the Spirit of God to alert his people for what's coming next. There's no better time than what's about to happen. So we see this story. The Holy Spirit descends like tongues of fire, and these disciples, mostly uneducated fishermen, are all of a sudden rushing to Jerusalem. And they're preaching the good news of Jesus in languages they never could have learned or understood. It's a miraculous story, even if we were celebrating it and reading it on its own. But if we know our Old Testament, we'll know that God's doing something even larger and even older than the Feast of Weeks. When we see God tearing down the barriers of language, we'll realize that the Spirit of God is undoing the story of the Tower of Babel. Undoing Babel. Well, what does that mean? You may remember this old story in the book of Genesis. It's about one of humankind's first collective sins, kind of our first sins as a human race, where powerful people are abusing their power to build a massive structure and become like God. And it's a very short and very strange story, but for their pride, God divides the human race by mixing up their language. Flash forward to Pentecost. The Spirit of God is now doing the exact opposite. The Spirit of God is now leaping over these boundaries of language and culture and ethnicity. And it's uniting the people of earth in God's power. See, so where Babel seeks to destroy and divide and elevate the powerful people to godhood, Pentecost seeks to unite, to go out, and to preach how God came down to the least of these. The church, from its infancy, from its very beginning, is this radically multi-ethnic, multicultural, multilingual body. And we know that it doesn't stop here. It doesn't stop in Jerusalem. It doesn't stop with Jewish believers. It continues on to the Gentiles, which is why we're even here doing this thing. By the time we get to Revelation, we see the image of the kingdom of God as a feast, where not mere token diversity is accomplished, not just like a little here and a little there, but somehow every tribe and nation and language is represented at the dinner table. Babel has been fully undone, for the dinner table in the kingdom of God is built for all to be invited. And if we want to see Pentecost, we're going to need to show up in Jerusalem. So why? If this is the church's birthday, if this is the church's legacy, why does this beautiful image of the church at Pentecost feel so distant? Right away in the scriptural story, we know the Jews and the Gentiles are clashing immediately. And in recent history, it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway, I have felt so distant from this vision of Pentecost. I felt crushed by the ways in which our country flatly fails to empathize and protect. I felt defeated by the racist actions in the place where I live. And further, I've even felt defeated at my feelings of defeat because I'm tired of feeling. I'm at a place where I want to know, what do I do? Does anyone else feel that frustration? We just want to know, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do when the world looks more like Babel than like Pentecost? And the short answer is that I don't know. Part of why I feel so helpless is that I don't know. I do know that what do I do isn't the only question to ask. I'm indebted to a quote from a fellow Missio pastor, Richard Velotis, and he posted that the overwhelming task of addressing racism requires great humility and curiosity. Instead of asking, what must I do, we would do well to first ask what has been done and who is already doing it. He says, there are faithful leaders in our midst we can all learn from and join. So we know there are things we can do. I know that social media has pretty much been everyone's only social life for a while now. And if your feed looks anything like mine, you've seen a lot of resources posted. But since I'm sure that can feel overwhelming and I don't have the answer anyway, I am going to share one thing with you today. From my own limited experience, I'm going to share one story. One story about how, through no virtue or effort of my own, I was shown a sliver of Pentecost. I was shown just a little bit more of the diversity of God's kingdom than I would have seen otherwise. So another reason for my heartbreak this week is actually a lot more personal. A lot more specific. This week, an old family friend of ours died. His name was Joe Brown. He was 84. And he passed away last week. A bit of his story. Joe Brown was an African-American man who was born and grew up in the Jim Crow American South. He, after that, lied about his age to serve in the Korean War. After that, he marched with Dr. King during the Civil Rights Movement. And then somewhere along the line, he met my dad. So Joe eventually decided to go to what was then Philadelphia College of Bible, where he shared classes with my father. Coming from white, rural, central Pennsylvania. And they graduated together. And after that, served for years in a drug rehab in Philadelphia. And during this time, I was born in South Philly. Years would pass, and then eventually my parents and myself moved back to central PA. And then, years after that, Joe also moved to central PA. I have no idea why, but Mr. Brown, as I called him, he moved into a county where the Black population hovered and still hovers around 1%. He would tell a story about when his neighbors would ask him, they would actually ask, "Why did you move here?" And the only answer I ever heard him say he gave was, "I thought you could use a little color in your life." And that shut them up. But because Joe and my dad remained close friends, I grew up knowing this man. I grew up having a Black family friend in my childhood social circles. Joe would come to my school plays. In the ninth grade, he let me interview him for a school project. He let me take up way too many of his afternoons asking all the wrong questions, but because of his patience and his presence, I gained access to perspectives and experiences I would have never known otherwise. For 33 years, he and my dad remained friends. His friendship is older than I am. And I want to be clear, Joe was not just this token presence who was dispensing racial wisdom all the time. This had all the ups and downs of any decades-long friendship. Joe and my dad would get so frustrated with each other. There was a time when they actually weren't speaking. It lasted for months. But because they committed to one another, through no virtue of my own, through no effort of Scotty's, my world was that much larger. My world was that much larger. Before I had Black brothers, before I left Central PA, I had Joe, and I'm indebted to him and to my father for committing to one another and for making my world that much larger. As we look forward to the yellow phase of this pandemic, I know a lot of us just really want things to get back to normal, but if these last weeks have shown nothing else, they've revealed that for too many people, normal is not enough. For too many people, normal is not survivable. And here's the weird thing, guys, we're in a unique position. As we look forward to yellow, we are actually in a unique position to rebuild our social circles from zero. We will likely never have this opportunity again in our lifetimes. But we have this opportunity to ask, how can I not merely return, but how can I rebuild my social circles so they better reflect Pentecost? How can I re-examine not just my social media life, but the places I do business, the ways in which I listen, the ways I speak? How can I rebuild so that my circles better reflect Pentecost? What small steps can I make toward this dinner table? How can I change my dinner table so that when I get to heaven, I won't even notice the difference? This isn't a box to check. This isn't a solution or a quick fix. This is an invitation to the work of God, to the Pentecost of God's Spirit. As we pray for Pentecost, we must come to Jerusalem. If this diversity isn't something you see in your church, it's something you can seek as the church. So what's the good news? The good news is that while this work is overwhelming, and while these tasks seem overwhelming, in the end, if we look at the story, people don't cause Pentecost. It's the work of God. By God's power, Babel will be dismantled. The kingdom of God will reign. And it's God's work, and we are invited to go out. We're invited to go out and show up at Jerusalem, at the bare minimum. If we wish to see Pentecost, we're going to need to show up at Jerusalem, for the Spirit of God never stays put. The Spirit of God goes out.
To find out more about Redemption Church, visit redemptionbristol.org.